Ears. 841 on 105.5 JYY. And it's so funny, on Justin's Instagram, both he and his wife Jessica Biel are holding up pictures of dogs, and they actually look like the picture of the dog.
That's interesting.
Because Jessica Biel, she's just kind of, you know, obviously she hasn't gotten her hair done, so she's got this long hair. It looks like some kind of, I don't know, schnauzer. And, and the hair color's the same.
Gosh.
And Justin's got a picture of a Rottweiler, and they could be twins.
That is just...
I know.
Okay.
Well, listen, it's what we're all going through right now. We're all dealing with different things. Joining us this morning, Senator Maggie Hassan, and she is back in the Granite State. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Nazzy. How are you?
I'm good. And I guess if I would compare myself to a dog, I would have to be some sort of like...
Boston Terrier.
No, because my hair is all ratty right now.
Did you see how quick I was?
You were.
Tara, that was good.
She's very quick, Senator. She's very, very quick. So, Senator, you made it back from D.C. You said you drove. How long did it take you?
Oh, it took me a little over 7 hours because no one was on the road, right?
Exactly,
Yeah, so, I mean, that was the silver lining here. As I think we've talked about before, after we finished up the CARES Act in late March, since I had been on the Hill and pretty likely exposed to the virus, we wanted to make sure that I was virus-free before I walked in the house because our son is high risk. And so self-isolated in D.C. for a couple of weeks and then drove back up. And it was really nice to get here, really nice to be here. When we go back down, I will likely drive again.
Smart move. Now, let me ask you this. There's a lot of talk about opening the country. There are some states that are slowly starting to open. What do we need to do here in the Granite State to reopen the economy, to get things jump-started the right way and the safe way, Senator?
Right. So, first of all, public health and a growing economy go hand in hand, right? People are not going to go out to their favorite restaurant or go to a movie if they don't feel safe. And we also obviously need a healthy workforce. So it is important for us, as difficult as this stay-at-home order is, and it is, to do this the right way. I know that Governor Sununu is working with his public health officials. We are all in contact, the delegation, the governor, his team, on a regular basis. They are going to base their judgments on data. But what's really critical here is, as we see our cases plateau, and I hope over time go down, we will need to reopen along with boosting our testing capacity and our public health capacity.
That's
and
huge.
The reason for this is that what we want to be able to do is, when there is a new case of COVID, we want to be able to test somebody quickly, find out that it's COVID, isolate them, find out who they exposed, and isolate those people too. If we have that kind of robust public health capacity, then we can safely reopen the economy. The other thing we would need to be doing is something called sentinel testing, which is a little bit of random testing across the population, just so that we, again, have a sense of how present the virus is and can respond to mitigate it and or contain it accordingly. This is all really important, obviously, to save lives, two, to give people confidence that they can go out again and engage in economic activity at low risk to themselves and their families. And the third thing that we always have to keep in mind is that we have a healthcare system that has a limited capacity, and we want that healthcare system to be available to everybody who needs healthcare, not just people with COVID-19. Right now, our hospitals have taken a big revenue hit because they've closed down all their elective procedures to make sure they're ready for COVID, and that's really important, and to keep COVID from spreading to people who don't have it.
It's meant
they've taken a big revenue hit, and they're major employers and economic drivers in their communities too. So one, we want them to be available to anybody who needs health care, whether it's COVID or a heart attack or something else. Two, we need them to be financially healthy, and that's one of the reasons in this latest package that we did, we put in an additional $75 billion for our healthcare facilities and institutions.
Yeah. All right. So from what you're saying, Senator, it seems like we are still kind of far off before getting kind of back to it.
Well, one of the things we did in the most recent package was put in $25 billion for additional testing, mm-hmm. and we instructed the administration to develop a national testing strategy. So we are hopeful that with those steps, we will develop that kind of testing capacity that we need to safely reopen. And it's going to be important that the federal government coordinate with the governors here. Mm-hmm. Look, the social distancing we're doing has been working.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people need to, you know, it's really hard, but and it's disrupted businesses and incomes, and some people, you know, lots of people are unemployed, and that's all really difficult and hard. And that's why we also have tried to provide some cash assistance to people and expanded unemployment benefits. But at the end of the day, we need to have this testing capacity up and running, and we're hopeful that some of the steps we took in this latest package will help us do that.
You know, two things you can always count on when there is something like this going on. Number one, you can always count on people stepping up to help out their fellow neighbors. And number two, you can always count on scammers getting out there to prey on the needy. You can always count on somebody who's going to try and cash in. We've talked about the people that have stockpiled the toilet paper, and now they're trying to turn it around at a ridiculous rate, and the hand sanitizer. What are we doing to make sure these scammers don't get rich on our hard-earned dollar?
Right. Well, really good question and really important one right now. And first of all, just let me take a step back and thank all the wonderful people of our communities, especially the frontline workers, whether it's healthcare workers to grocery clerks to law enforcement to firefighters and EMTs. You're all keeping us safe, and you're doing it at risk to yourself, so thank you. Secondly, the bad part of the ledger, the human beings who would take advantage of others in a time of extraordinary stress and hardship, there are scammers out there who are trying to manipulate people into giving them their personal information so they can go on the IRS website and essentially redirect the money that is owed to you to themselves. So a couple of things.
Disgusting.
If somebody calls you, it's outrageous. If somebody calls you and says they're from the IRS and asks for your personal information, like your social security number or something like that, don't give it to them. They're not really from the IRS.
Right. The IRS is not going to ask you for that. Yeah.
No, that's not something the IRS does. Secondly, if you see either a web advertisement or you get a phone call advertisement or pitch that says that they're a business who can expedite your payment from the IRS if you'll just pay them a fee, don't do it, because there aren't any businesses out there who expedite the payment from the IRS. So if people are waiting for their payment and want more information about what they need to do to make sure they get it, they can certainly call my office at 622-2204 or go to my website, hassan.senate.gov/coronavirus. We have a portal that just deals with questions about the coronavirus. But don't trust people on the phone who are trying to take your personal information from you. It's a disgrace that we have to say this, but it's out there.
Yeah.
And it's also why I'm pushing the IRS to come up with some strategies for combating this kind of fraud and making sure their cybersecurity is as tight as possible.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for that tip, because I do think that that's something that needs to be reiterated. We need to talk about that and how to, protect people.
We do. And I just I read so many stories about especially older folks that just think, oh, this is a great answer right here. And they fall for it. And these people are preying on their ignorance. And we really need to do something about this. This is not the time.
And look, to that point, for people on Social Security retirement or disability or supplemental security income, you will get your payment automatically because the government has your payment information. And that's something we really fought to get the IRS to do.
Nice.
You don't have to do anything. Similarly, veterans who are getting benefits or their survivors or caregivers, you don't have to do anything either because the government already has your payment information. So I want people to know that. Other folks, if you filed your 2018 or 2019 tax returns and you have direct deposit information already on file, you don't have to do anything either. If you want to expedite it, not wait for a check, if you usually get your payments by check, you can go onto the IRS website and you can enter your direct deposit information.
There it is. Senator, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Please stay safe.
What a pleasure. Take care of yourselves, folks. Be safe. And again, speak up about the scamming. It's a disgrace, but we have to acknowledge it's there and do everything we can to fight it.
True that. Thank you.
Senator, I've got some great music coming up, especially for you next. Bruno Mars. I know you love him. He's on the way, all right?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Stay safe, everybody. Be well.
JYY.